What are you doing?
I'm doing Christmas.
Christmas?
Packet gravy. How British. Confidence. Just talk to her.
Do you maybe want to go somewhere a bit more quiet?
You ever been blocked?
Stop or I'll block you. Just please stop.
Don't you dare.
Can't see or speak to them. There's just the shadow.
Is it set up?
You are all set and ready to go.
I don't want to be in here. I don't want to be in here!
It'll be much easier if you just comply.
A feature-length special from Charlie Brooker. Black Mirror, White Christmas. Tuesday the 16th of December on 4.
All right, Mysterious Streams. We're back after a long hiatus, and we're back after we completely lost the first 10 minutes of this podcast trying to record it the first time.
Oh, man. We're having so many technical difficulties in this place.
I will have to give it up to Mary, though, for encouraging me to continue, because I was just ready to throw my phone and my laptop and everything I've ever owned out the window.
And I like things that we own, so...
Well, it is ironic that the thing we're going to talk about is a show about technology and its negative impacts on your life, and I almost had a small stroke.
That your phone just restarted itself.
After a phone, as they say in the UK, it proper fucked me.
Oh, God, please never do this. Please. If you're going to do the podcast like this, I quit.
Do it like what? Funnily?
In that fucking accent.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to put explicit accent on this. Our explicit content, excuse me.
Don't we have to put that on all of our podcasts?
Well, this, again, is Mysterious...
Streams.
Mysterious. I thought the phone restarted again. I was about ready to drop kick someone.
What you all heard is a miniature stroke is just what happened.
I'll be really upset. So it's been a long time since we've talked to you, and you've heard the dulcet tones of our...
Wonderful voices.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
No, it wasn't.
No real excuses, you know, this is something we just do as a hobby, so it's not exactly a priority when you have, you know, work
but,
and job.
You know,
and
it is fun to do whenever we actually sit down and do it, so.
Yeah, and we end up watching different films a lot of the time, so.
And usually it's stuff that I hate, but this time it's actually something that I really enjoyed.
All right, and so just to reiterate, I am the Mime Killer, Nicholas Peterson.
And I am the Geeky Senorita, Mary Peterson.
And we are joined by...
Big T!
We're joined by Timothy, which if you remember, he was from earlier episodes, but he's now rejoined us.
That goofy ginger bastard.
I think that if you do more podcasts with us, that should be your name.
The Goofy Ginger Bastard?
Yes. I'm somewhat in love with that handle.
It's pretty...
It suits you. Anyway, let's get on with this.
Oh, no one can hear you when you talk in front of the microphone, by the way.
So, wait, nobody can hear me when I talk in front of the microphone?
Well, you're in...
Or out of range of the microphone.
Behind the microphone, I should say.
Yeah, sort out your words before you try to tell me how to live my life.
Sort out your life, mate.
Oh, God.
So this time we are talking about the Christmas special of the series Black Mirror. Black Mirror is a Twilight Zone anthology show from the UK. The first 6 episodes are on Netflix. I highly recommend watching them. There's a kind of an underlying theme of how technology can impact our lives, good and bad, but mostly bad because...
Yeah, I didn't see one instance of technology helping somebody.
Yeah, it's just, you know, all the doodads and gadgets making our lives less pleasant than they already are, which I guess is...
Although, there was one instance where I would like to be able to have this technology, but...
I've seen the entire series. Both you and Tim have seen a handful of episodes with me.
That I have no recollection of, but yes.
All right, well, at some point you've seen a handful of episodes with me. This is the show has been off for at least a year... I don't think it's going to get a full third season, but this is good enough right now. It's a full length movie, Christmas special, which is pretty cool.
I find it wonderfully weird that most of the UK shows that we watch take like a year off between seasons.
It's the way the UK makes series. It's just a completely different mindset from the way we make series. Which, if a series gets popular, we make episodes of it until it stops becoming popular, and then the show's over. And sometimes that's hundreds and hundreds of episodes long past any sane version of how much story is left.
Kind of like Family Guy?
Well, Family Guy's different. Family Guy's a cartoon. It's a comedy. So
I feel like it's outlasted itself.
I'm talking about dramatic shows. Someone argue the last two seasons of Buffy are practically worthless. There's a lot of
Stop right there. I don't think so. I think the last two seasons were amazing.
There's a lot of Buffy fans who consider the end of season 5 with the death of Buffy as the official end of the series.
Mm.
And everything after that is bollocks.
I refuse to live in a world where I don't have Buffy.
What? The show's over. I just don't want to break it to you.
Yeah, but they still have the graphic novels, which is still having Buffy in my life. No,
it's glorified fan fiction.
Oh, whatever.
Once Buffy started The Fly, it was all over.
Oh, whatever.
What?
Yeah, she started The Fly, now it gets superpowers. I kid you not. It's fan fiction.
Garbage. It's most wonderful.
Fan fiction garbage.
Human fan trash. Fiction is wonderful.
So you're okay with Giles coming back as a teenager, dying?
I'm okay with Giles being in any form.
Giles dying and coming back as Harry Potter?
Yes.
I've read these comics. They're not that good.
I am wonderfully in love with them.
All right. So Black Mirror, this is the Christmas special, so it appropriately opens up on a Christmas morning with two characters sharing a cabin, doing some kind of job that is not really specified what they're doing, but they've been doing it for a number of years.
Yeah.
And one of the characters is played by John Hamm of Mad Men fame, and quite a good actor. The other character is a British actor who, in the previous podcast, I said I didn't know who it was. And then Tim said he was from Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
Right?
And Hot Fuzz and...
Pretty much movies with Sean Pegg and... Or Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
So these two characters are sharing a Christmas morning together.
Yes.
And they start reminiscing about their lives and... John Hamm opens as the more chatty of the two, and the person who actually wants to celebrate Christmas and talk for a change.
Which should have been instantly suspicious.
Someone wanting to talk?
Someone wanting to talk, like, first thing in the morning. I'm never talkative first thing in the morning. I'm too tired still. Too much, I wish I was still back in bed. To be all chatty like that.
There is something suspicious about morning people. I will give you that. I do inherently have a deep distrust for them. Tim, what's your thoughts? You work in the morning people. But people that are chipper and bright and happy in the morning.
I wonder what chemicals they're inducing to get such a high in the morning. Why their eyes are so bright. I'm for it. You know, cool. I'm super grateful you're happy, but... Please keep it at a lull with me until I've had coffee.
It's almost like they're compensating for something. Like,
yeah.
Like morning people are, it's like, okay, it's 6 o'clock and you look ready to attack the world. Where are the bodies buried exactly? That's what I want to know. So John Hamm opens up about his life and what brought him to this particular point, and he starts with talking about a hobby he did. I believe money was involved. He made money out of this. Which was a job, essentially, helping people on dates, but using it with technology by implanting a little camera in someone's eye so we can see and hear what they see and hear.
I really hope he's getting paid for this, and this isn't just some creepy thing he does just for kicks.
I would like to think that we didn't get the exact terms of the business arrangement, but he's taking a hopeless schlub. Who I think is a virgin, if I remember, if you know the subtext of the show.
Hell a virgin, dude.
Hell a virgin.
nerdy black hair, has to rely on lines and
has to rely on John Hamm to get him laid.
And so John Hamm is walking him through and letting him suggesting he crashes an office party, which is what he does in order to pick up women who are tired of the men surrounding them in their everyday lives and just looking for anything different.
Barney Stinson.
Don't agree.
You don't agree with the...
I don't agree with the logic of it, because in these women's minds, there's still somebody that they work with. So their whole idea of, oh man, I want to sleep with somebody that I don't work with, is completely thrown out the window, because this is for somebody that's trying to make people think that he works with them.
So I'm gonna. This is one we talked about in length already. I'm gonna cut this one short because, gosh, she wants to talk about the same thing twice. Things go drastically wrong. While John Hamm, JM is having this guy go on this date. Things go drastically wrong, and the person who he is trying to help ends up dead.
Dead because
Raph's ball.
The chick
name.
That he. Chats Up is a psycho bitch.
Well, I don't know if she's a psycho bitch.
She's psychotic.
She was nice even when she was killing him. She was just psycho. But she wasn't a bitch.
I feel like once you forcibly shove poison down somebody's throat, you're kind of a bitch.
You ever heard of killing someone with kindness?
How is that kind? She literally put a funnel in his mouth and poured poison down it.
I'm not saying it's good.
I'm saying at that point, that's not killing them with kindness. That's just being a straight bitch.
What do you think, Tim? I mean, you saw her. Would you kick her out of bed for eating crackers?
You know, she seemed cool at the beginning, but then that whole, like, she probably would have told me, like, I really like indie bands. It's like, just give me the poison.
She's like, oh, do you want to listen to The Cure and, All right, so that's story one. This goes back to the cabin where... Oh, I almost skipped over something really important.
Of course you
so
did.
John Hamm's wife discovers that he's doing this thing where he's helping people out during these dates. And it's very... It's looked at very poorly by her. And then we get introduced a very interesting piece of technology that exists in this world where you can block someone in real life.
Which I am very intrigued by.
And what's your thoughts on blocking someone in real life?
I would do it. Quite a bit, probably, with various coworkers and or idiot people that I've chosen to let into my life.
Okay, so we discussed this last time, and you
I didn't give up a name, and I'm not going to give up a name.
So, on this podcast, at the end of this episode, you will announce who you will personally block if you had the technology to block someone in real life.
Well, given the fact that they mention in this show that blocking someone... typically only lasts for about an hour. I guess that I can do that without too many people's feelings.
All right, we'll name the person. They're not going to hear this.
Wow. Way to have faith in our podcast, guy.
I know. I just don't have faith that your friends know how to work a computer.
that might not be misplaced. I don't know. Let me see. Right now, I would probably have to say my friend Jordan. I would not be opposed to blocking him. At this point.
All right. There you go. I'm going to link this right to his Facebook.
You go ahead and do that.
Tim, who would you block? I forget who you said.
I declined. I just think it's weird as a technology because you see them as a blob and they as this crazy blob of light or whatever and they see you as that. So it's like you go anywhere, like you could be going to the Starbucks and seeing like 10 people of like that you've blocked. It's just awkward.
Oh, we should say what blocking someone looks like in real life. So you block someone, you use your phone, you hold it up to their face, and they pretty much turn into a pixelated blob. You can kind of see their outline, and then their voice sounds like the parents on Charlie Brown. They just wop, 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 and that's...
Although I don't think that they have that nice little beat to it.
You heard a beat with Charlie Brown's parents?
No, I heard a beat when you tried to imitate Charlie Brown's parents.
You know what? Don't question me.
I'm not questioning you. I'm just letting you know that I kind of liked that.
I wouldn't want domestic abuse to be recorded on a podcast, but we could be the first podcast to do so.
Yeah, I really don't want to emasculate you in front of all of our listeners, so you think that might not be the best.
You think you could wrestle me? You think you could not wrestle me on the podcast?
I think that I've given you enough bruises in the course of our marriage.
Oh, I bruise like a Georgia peach. That shouldn't be counted as an accomplishment. So... after John Hamm gets blocked by his wife, and by the way, when you block someone... all your children are blocked by the person automatically as well, which is, you know, that's a real kick in the pants.
Yeah, so that means that John Hamm couldn't even see his daughter.
Nope.
He had a daughter, didn't he? It was a little
he had children. He stepped on a child's squeaky toy as he was...
He practically kicked one down the stairs.
All right, so this leads off to our second story, which is John Hamm's 9-to-5 job, which is kind of interesting and creepy.
It kind of is. It's like...
Explain the job. Well, I explain the first one. You explain what his job is.
I'm not really entirely sure what it was. But it's essentially you move some form of your consciousness into this little machine that they call a cookie.
It copies. It doesn't move. It just copies. A version of yourself is copied and stored digitally.
Right, and you were from what I was getting of it, you were someone in control of your body, But that's
your body just... is digitally transmitted, so you can, you know, your digital copy of yourself can be seen, and it's basically used as a digital slave to run your smart household. And people's houses are all connected in this future. And so...
See, I didn't understand that
okay,
at all.
Okay, so a copy of yourself is made, and since no one knows you better than you, who else but you could run your successfully run your house?
But why couldn't I just do that in my body? Why do I gotta put myself... copy some form of my consciousness into, like, a little...
Because it takes care of everything for you. Like, it loads... It orders food for you. You know, it knows all your favorite foods, so it'll make sure your refrigerator is filled with your favorite foods. It knows when to wake you up. It knows what song to wake you up with. It basically automates everything for you. And the way they get yourself to agree to do this is essentially they psychologically break the digital copies by putting them in a purgatory for... In the story, the little digital person was a digital lady was arguing that she did not want to automate this house. She did not want to do this. And so John Hamm put her in digital purgatory for a couple weeks. And she came back, and she was still arguing. So he put her in digital purgatory for 6 months. And it's only a couple seconds for him. He's still eating the same piece of toast. But for this digital person, 6 months had passed where all she did was...
Just sit into nothing.
Exist in a featureless room with white walls and white floors, you know.
I always felt like if you ever play Oregon Trail on your... iPhone or iPad or whatever.
I played Oregon Trail on the Apple IIe.
Look, Grandpa, we're not talking about that right now.
That's my
Oregon. At one point when you play this, you have the option to let your family rest for however many days, and I always kind of imagine now that that's what that's like. You're just sending them to this weird purgatory where they're just trapped in this glass case of nothing.
Tim, how long would it take to break your digital self into automated?
About 4 minutes.
4 minutes?
There's nothing to do in here.
Already? That'd be awesome. So that's the second story, and that takes us to our third and final story, where we finally get the...
Second man's story.
The person who's been quiet this entire time. What has brought him to this place? And that was, this is probably the longest of the three stories, and certainly the most emotionally involved, and the most kind of, I would say, just generally messed up, right?
A little bit. It was fucked from beginning to end.
So essentially, he finds out his girlfriend's pregnant. She says she's going to abort it. This freaks him out, and he throws a planner or flowers against the wall, and she blocks him. She blocks him after that, after he displayed... a violent outburst, and so they go her separate ways, and he's kind of depressed about it, but he sees her, because it's the only person who's blocked him, and she has an even with the block, he can tell she has a baby bump.
That she is very much still pregnant. And that makes him kind of happy that, like, you know, she didn't kill my child after all.
But this sends him in a mental tailspin, where, remember, even the children of the people who block you are blocked, but you can't see them. So
essentially everybody that's been blocked is John Cena. Can't see me.
Oh, man. I don't even know how to respond to that. And so,
I think I just broke little digital you.
That's all it'd take. Just one John Cena joke. I mean, all right, I'll automate the house. Just no more John Cena jokes, please.
Our entire marriage for the rest of our lives is going to be never-ending John Cena jokes.
No! He starts stalking his blocked... you know, girlfriend and his now blocked child for a number of years. And this continues until he drops a gift off anonymously for his daughter, because now his daughter is 4 years old and he can see the outline of the hair and the way she walks that, okay, this is, I have a daughter.
Yeah.
It could have just been a boy with long hair. That would have been really awkward. But he goes home and his girlfriend killed in a terrorist attack of some kind, or killed in a train wreck.
A rail crash.
It was a rail crash. And once someone dies, their block dies with them. We should also notice that if you block someone, you can't even look at pictures of the person.
Even your memories of them are somehow...
No, not your memories.
Well, that's what he said.
He was just being philosophical.
Well, whatever.
He felt his memories was being vandalized. He was...
Well, in a way, it kind of is, because, I mean, at that point, you're so psychologically messed up about not being able to see this person that you love... So, So from when the news report, when he finally sees her, he has this reaction, like, even in his mind, he hasn't been able to see her.
Yeah, because he's just been seeing her in his mind's eye. He hasn't actually physically seen her in a number of years, so.
Technically, he didn't physically see her in that either. He just kind of saw a picture of her.
That's a physical. Mm. Pictures exist in the physical realm.
I would argue that they don't, since it was on the TV.
So they exist in the spiritual realm?
Yes.
Your television is spiritual?
Yes, it is.
All right, well, that's an interesting philosophical statement to make, I suppose.
So he finally, it's near Christmas time, so he gets a present for his daughter and starts making the trek to his girlfriend's father's house.
Yes, where he knows his daughter's at, where he makes the startling recovery that the child is
Asian. Discovery.
Oh my gosh. This is what happens when I do two podcasts in a row. My words stop working. He discovers that it's an Asian child, which of course means he is not Asian.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with being an Asian child, but it definitely means
that... I would argue in this case there was a lot wrong with being an Asian child.
Well, in his mind it was, because that means the child is not
his.
That's why
I made that argument. Oh my goodness.
I don't know what you're saying to me.
Anyway, so he realizes that the father of this child was one of their... What was it? Just his friend? A mutual friend of theirs?
A mutual friend of theirs.
And so now he starts having all of these memories of times where it was abundantly obvious that there was something going on between the two of them.
Yes, very. And that breaks his mind. And the old grandfather, he beans with a snow globe. And him being old and shriveled up, all it takes is one hit with a snow globe.
Which didn't even look like that hard, by the way.
I'm going to hit an old man with a snow globe. It doesn't take much.
I'm frightened that you know how hard it takes to hit an old man with a snow globe.
Dome conked him with that.
Yeah, he done domed him.
Oh gosh, let's go back to the John Cena jokes. If this is what's going to happen,
you learn this in the School of Hard Knocks, which is where I win.
Proud of yourself?
Yes, very. Mm. It's so topical. Hard Knock Life for Us. New Annie movie out.
So the grandfather dies and. John Hamm is trying to tell him, like, okay, well, what happened next?
Now, at this point, it's taken a turn, and John Hamm is definitely, you can tell, pressing him for information. He's no longer casually talking to him, asking about his life. He's definitely pressing for more information.
Right. And he's asking him, okay, well, what did you do after that? Well, this man is visibly having a breakdown because he recognizes the clock.
The clock in the room they're in is the same clock that was in the room that he murdered that old man in. And the daughter of his girlfriend wandered out and died in the snow because she was afraid of the person who just killed her grandfather.
Which, how could she have died in the snow? It looked like she didn't even make it that far from the house.
Well, no, I mean, we're in Northern California, so we don't deal with. I mean, if it was a Midwest snowstorm, negative temperatures, it would not take long for a child exposed to the elements to completely surrender. Just Northern California folks, so we're used to when it does snow, high 20s, you know what I mean? That's the temperatures we deal with,
mm-hmm.
instead of like -5, -10.
That's true.
My body, I don't even know what that feels like. I can just imagine what negative temperatures feel like, but to a small child, that's pretty much a fatality pretty quickly.
When you don't know what kind of symptoms she has or whatever, and only God knows, because she's just like playing outside in the episode, like, within that same scene, so it kind of confused me as how she was just like, she didn't even make it like
she made it 15, to the tree
20 yards outside of the door before she fell over.
Maybe he had something to do with it. I'm not okay, but that was vague. But it turns out, so the final twist of this story,
although to be fair, at this point he says that, so he killed the guy, what was it, like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then Boxing Day, however many days after that in the UK it is.
Oh, maybe he left her out there, and then eventually she just wandered out. So he just...
Because he just kind of left her there, and she was just hiding under her bed, and then she goes and then leaves her present to her grandpa on the table next to him. And you can see that it's been a little while from the way that his body is.
Okay.
And then she just kind of...
Days, like...
You're right. So she was there by herself for days, not eating, not drinking, and then wandered. All right, that's probably...
That makes more sense.
So the twist is that John Hamm is helping the police break this guy. He's not even talking to a real person. He's getting a confession again of his cookie, which is just a complete copy of himself. Which apparently these cookies, if they confess, that's legally admissible. The real version of this guy is staying silent in jail. His cookie was the one who's being psychologically broken.
His cookie was a fucking stool pigeon.
And which is a really interesting thought. And then you learn two things at the end. So one, they completely torture the cookie at the end by making him live 1,000 years a minute, which is horrendous. And two, John,
was it 1,000 years or was it like 6 months?
1,000 years a minute.
1,000 years.
1,000 years a minute. So that's what they're doing to the little digital person.
Oh, dude!
But John Hamm, though, which was relating to the fact that he must have been doing this illegal thing with the in the beginning of the episode. He is something where he's blocked by everyone on the planet. Everyone sees him as a red blob, and he's been blocked by.
He's a criminal.
He can't see anyone who's ever existed. He can see the people that the cops he was trying to help. But after he walked outside, everyone was blurry, and it was kind of vague on this. Maybe it was a consequence of him being involved with that kid's murder, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's the only thought I have, but this guy was in his this. It was just interesting. They kind of juxtaposed this digital cookie living 1,000 years a minute in this cabin at the source of where he murdered, and John Hamm in his own version of hell, walking amongst people but not being able to communicate or even see anyone.
Mm.
So both of them living in their own versions of digital hell, which was an interesting juxtaposition. So that was the Black Mirror Christmas special, darling. You liked it?
I did. I enjoyed it. Although, I don't know which one would be worse for me personally. Being in a cabin with that fucking Christmas music playing where I killed somebody and where essentially my entire life came apart. Or not being able to see or speak to anybody for the rest the of cabin. My life.
You can still eat in the with John Hamm. You can still eat a good slice of za.
But is za really worth it if you're only eating by yourself?
You can still read books and eat za.
Is it really worth it at that point if you can't share it with
and
someone?
And shake your willy. Life's still worth living if you can shake your willy. You know what I mean, girl?
My life is a slow hell. This is my hell.
This is your hell?
This would be my hell.
Me doing that accent to you over and over again?
Oh my god.
Talking about shaking willies.
That would be my hell.
Buh-uh.
Oh god.
I felt that was funnier in the first episode that we lost. What do you think? That's my hell. Me being funny in podcast episodes that get deleted.
We'll laugh about it later.
Oh, brother.
I'm kind of laughing about it now.
So, I'm not going to make any wild promises about this podcast series and where it might go into 2015. We might do more episodes. We might do less episodes.
We might just completely stop podcasting altogether.
We might completely... You know what? Maybe this episode convinced me that I shouldn't be online at all and I should delete everything I've ever had online.
That don't make no damn sense.
I did learn something today, thanks to the Graham Norton show, that Chris Pine's fans are called Pine Nuts.
Oh,
what and, the fudge!
Yes, and Benedict Cumberbatch fans are called Cumberbitches.
I'm getting out of this episode before this deletes again. I won't have.
So there's your little Christmas facts.
All right,
you can
so
either be a pine nut or a Cumberbitch.
Have a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year. Thanks for listening to our very dumb podcast
with
Tim. Thank you for joining us.
No,
with
the goofy ginger bastard.
No, you guys say your own damn name.
Oh. I'm the mime killer. My wife is the geeky senorita. We're joined by the goofy ginger bastard.
Timbo Baggins.
And,
Timbo Baggins.
And signing off, you can find us and rate us and rank us in iTunes. You can find us on thecriticsword.com. And you can find me at mimekiller@twitter.com if you want to tweet insults, movie suggestions, come-ons, or send me selfie nudes. Nude selfies.
Selfie nudes? No, I think that was the right one.
Both. That's the place to be.
Leroy Jenkins!
All right. Thank you for joining us. Like I said, have a great year. Looking forward to a great 2015. Have a great day, you guys.
Peace.